Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Jean Norton. I'm glad to be here today, and thank you, everybody, for adjusting your schedule for Wednesday afternoon. I had originally had it scheduled for another time and moved it to Wednesday afternoon, and I hope that has worked out well for everybody. Anyway, I posted a link on my Rehabbing Remotely fan page and asked who or if anybody has had problems getting their offers accepted, or if they've made over 100 offers and still haven't been able to get a deal. I invited everybody to comment, and I got a lot of people that commented. There must be a lot of frustrated real estate investors out there, and I was one of them. So I know what you're going through. I feel your pain. I will tell you what I did and how I got out of the situation I was in. And so I'll go ahead and get started with that. It was, I believe, in June of 2009, I had my first real estate education training, and I went out on a bus trip out to Southern California. And sure enough, the profit spreads were unbelievable with what I saw out there. There was clearly opportunities to rehab properties, and I learned about the strategies that worked in Southern California, and you know, that was pretty much the beginning of, just the real foreclosure rehab opportunities. And sure enough, I got a deal pretty much right off in Riverside, California, and rehabbed it. And at that point, the FHA had their 90-day waiting period, and so even though the property was rehabbed and on the market, we had 90 days to actually wait until we could get some of those FHA offers. So that was kind of frustrating, but I didn't stop making offers at that point. I still made offers, and I also shopped around for money to cash out so I could do more deals. Well, as it turned out, I was not able to cash out. The private, you know, the money opportunities were very expensive, so I decided against cashing out of that property, and we just waited until we could sell it. And sure enough, within that 90-day period, like on the 91st day, we got multiple offers and had and sold it, made about, I don't know, $40,000 profit, and it was a pretty sweet deal. And I wanted to do more. I mean, I tasted it. I saw the success, and I wanted to do more. So I just kept making offers out there in the Inland Empire and Riverside and Ontario area, and I think I was probably making offers for about a year, and I think, I don't know so much if it was the way my offers were written or what was going on, but I do feel like I actually did burn out my real estate agent. I think she stopped making offers. One of the things that I've since learned is that you need to find a real estate agent that really is investor savvy and makes use of tools to make their jobs easier. And this lady was faxing offers all of the time, and it was very frustrating for me because I was continually making offers and no results. And I felt like I was just banging my head. I would even track the houses that I made offers on and see what they finally went for. And I could see the prices inching up and creeping up. And I could see where investors were willing to take less of a profit spread. My offers were not in line with what I had learned there should be in a profit spread. And I got frustrated. I also live in Austin, Texas, so I started making offers in Austin as well. And the economy wasn't hit as hard in Austin, so the spreads weren't there. So needless to say, it was very difficult to find an agent that would be patient enough to work with me because my offers were so out of skew with other investor offers. And so I realized at that point that I needed to think in a different way on how to really get some deals either in Austin or in California or wherever. And I actually said to myself, okay, well, if Austin, you know, here I live in Austin, I want to do deals in Austin. So I started networking in Austin and talking to other people and talking to people who were trained with different strategies. And I actually bought another course from a local real estate guru here in Austin and to find out how he was successful in Austin and learned about those strategies. And a lot of it was postcard campaigns and, letter writing and getting lists, getting lead lists. And so I did that. I did a postcard campaign in the Austin area for those that were in pre-foreclosure mode, and got a few calls and got some opportunities to look at properties. And I did. I found a short sale opportunity and managed to keep a property from going into the foreclosure, you know, at the courthouse steps. And man, that just was very painful. It was hard to get them to the price I wanted, and there was a lot of work involved, and also talking with the owner of the property and listening to their situation. And I decided that that's not what I wanted to do. I don't really want to do the postcard thing. I don't want to talk to the end users. So I went back to thinking about, okay, where then can I go? How can I get a deal? And how can I make money in this real estate world, especially where I know the spreads are? They were there in California, but by that time, the bus tours that I went on had been going on for, you know, over a year at that time, and I still hadn't gotten another deal. And I finally said, okay, why is it Southern California is so attractive? Well, one, it's got the attention of international investors. It's got good weather. People like to live there. And I just looked at all of these qualities, but the real thing that was getting to me was the fact that I was able to clean up working class houses and sell them to people in California who've never, ever, ever thought they would be able to afford a home in California. So I started thinking, okay, what areas have those same qualities? And this is the thinking outside of the box that I had mentioned. What areas have the qualities that California has? One, has the attention of international investors. Two, it's got a good quality of life, a nice place to live, beautiful weather all the time. Three, a opportunity to sell to a set of buyers that never have been able to afford their own house. And California still fit in that model. And I just knew I had to go someplace where 12-plus loads of potential investors weren't arriving every month. It just got to the point where there was too much competition. So in just a few minutes, I'll start taking some calls. And if you want to go ahead and write this number down, it's 347-838-8838. So at that point, I started looking in north of Los Angeles and just other areas, and I started looking into other types of properties. Some people say stay away from condos, and I don't really know why, but when investors are told to stay away from condos, I'm sort of thinking, great, there's no competition there. So that's sort of the thinking outside of the box. And that's when I started finding properties in Bakersfield and north of Los Angeles. They were the bite-sized properties that I like, or bite-sized prices that I like is what I meant to say. And so I suddenly started getting properties one after another, all at like 50% of the after-repair value. And so things just started coming together for me there in Bakersfield, and I still was hearing people talk about, my gosh, I've been trying to make offers. I don't know what to do. Nobody's returning my calls. Nobody's sending me deals. And here I was, I just by me tweaking my approach, by looking at what works, but not, you know, from a philosophical point of view or from a goal-setting point of view, not necessarily from a specific location or a specific strategy point of view. So I think that's the key thing there is if you've had any kind of real estate training where you said you've got to go to Southern California and you've got to use this profit spread and you've got to use these numbers and then you'll be successful, well, that may be true, but, you know, it's not going to always be true if there's 12 busloads of people coming in every month and creating a whole lot more, investor competition. So I think it's really important, and the two key things are if you are a frustrated real estate investor, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that two things that will have to change. One, you have to change your strategy in some way that works, or two, you have to change your location. And that's what I've done. I dabbled. I tried to get real estate in my own home and in my hometown, and realized that it was more difficult than I had realized, and that there were a lot of other real estate investors that were successful here in Austin, but they used strategies that I was not comfortable with. They used some strategies that were probably considered to be downright illegal. So at this point, I'll go ahead and start taking some calls. If you want to dial in, it's a 347-838-8838, or you can ask questions on the chat room. Either one will work. So when I started getting momentum in Bakersfield and things were really working out for me there, I had a contractor that was investor savvy. I really learned a lot in that period, understanding the difference between contractors and how to recognize them and how to manage them. And I also learned a lot about managing these projects remotely. So again, knowing that I didn't want to use some of these other strategies that worked in Austin, my other choice was, either you have to change your investing strategy or you have to change your location. And I'm always on the lookout, and always have been on the lookout for the areas where there are high profit spreads. And in Bakersfield was one. And even though Bakersfield was a declining market at that time, I still made money in Bakersfield. So I've since decided that I'm very comfortable with that market. I like dealing with banks. I like dealing with maybe other wholesalers. I don't like dealing with distressed sellers. Some people are very happy doing that, and the other strategies that they use are like the subject to investing, subject to taking a property subject to existing mortgage, sort of a loophole around assumable mortgage, and I just wasn't comfortable using that strategy. So I am comfortable with the rehabbing properties where it makes sense, in the locations that it makes sense, and getting a team together that makes sense. And right now I've been, recently I've been doing some deals in Chicago, and I've made some money there, and the opportunities that I've seen there are just tremendous. I see that I'll actually go through the MLS and see what activity has been going on in the last 6 months in a certain neighborhood, and I can see where people have bought properties at $25,000-$30,000 and turn around and fixed them up and sold them for $130,000-$150,000. Now, all I can do is look at the pictures of what was done, and I can tell that it's a pretty nice rehab. And I've also done my research there and know that you absolutely have to rehab the properties to the max in order for it to sell within the 30 to 60 days. So that's where I've been lately. But I want to get back also and remind everybody, you can go ahead and call in and ask questions if it's possible, you know, if you can. And in Bakersfield, again, I was having all of the, everything was falling into place. I was getting properties. I had a great contractor fixing them up, had a great listing agent selling them, and other people were still upset. I can't get a deal. What am I doing wrong? My real estate agent has stopped returning my calls. So I just finally said, okay, I'm having a field trip to Bakersfield. And sure enough, that's what I did. I showed them the area. I showed them the opportunities. I showed them how I manage these projects remotely. I showed them exactly what to look for and how to, you know, and I shared all the mistakes I made in the process. So I still be very happy to be in Bakersfield or Sacramento or, you know, any place that it makes sense. I think there's still tremendous opportunities in all of those areas. But I have not seen opportunities like I'm seeing in Chicago. I haven't seen that in a long time. So I'm delighted to be in Chicago, and I want to invite anybody that wants to come and meet my power team. I've got a real nice set of people that I like a lot. They're investor-savvy people. They understand what the opportunity is there. And if you want to read more about it, learn more about it, or even you know, go ahead and register, I encourage you to do that. It's at budurl.com/rehabchicago. So it's budurl.com/rehabchicago. And I've got a really nice trip lined up for everybody. I've got a few bonuses for people that come also. One is, as I told you about the learning about the contractors, et cetera, as I've labeled, I've done a report on the 5 different styles of contractors and how to manage them, how to identify them, how to manage them, what you need to know about them, what will work, what won't work, and that's a special report that I currently sell right now on my blog for $97. So that's a value that I give to you for free. Also, I've been doing free support calls on Saturday afternoons, really question answer any topic that's of interest, and they are often posted. The recordings are often posted, but there are some that are just too valuable to post for free. The one that you will get, this one, if you do come to the field trip in Chicago, it's a 2-hour long conversation on how to get business credit for your real estate business. And my guest on that was Russ LeBrasque, and he spilled the beans. He told all. So I'm not sharing that one with just everybody. So that's a 2-hour recording that anybody that comes to the field trip will get for free. Also, I've got a secret Facebook group that is available for as long as Facebook is around for anybody that comes to the field trip. It's the Gene Norton Super Secret Society of Real Estate Investors. And we do deals together. We talk about opportunities. I've got people all over the country doing deals and doing deals remotely in that group. And that has been that's been the biggest surprise, is the success of that group. And that, you know, a lot of people will charge memberships for that group. And actually, I may have to start charging in the future, but for right now, it is free for anybody that comes to the field trip, and if I do start charging in the future, it will remain free for you. So I've got a hotel lined up, a really nice place called Jameson Suites, and it's only $59 a night, and that includes breakfast. So that's my kind of a hotel. So I hope you guys can make it. Again, if anybody's got any questions, you're welcome to call in at 347-838-9800. 8838. If there's something that I missed or haven't covered, please don't hesitate to call in or even write in the chat box. So another place that I've been watching pretty closely, and I've always wanted to sort of research a little bit more, is Miami. In fact, Miami is the target that I used. I did a little video on how to find the differences between the foreclosed prices and retail prices by zip code. And that's a nice little tool that I use. It's some data that's hidden sort of deep inside RealtyTrack. And you know what? I'm just going to type in really quickly some of these links. But first, there was the budurl.com/rehabchicago. And then the other one is on my blog, http Gene Norton Investor. On that blog, on the right-hand side, there's further down, there's two really important posts, and one of them is how to find the best spreads, potential profit spreads by zip code, and it's using RealtyTrack. And I'm surprised RealtyTrack doesn't promote that, because for me as an investor, that's just an unbelievable, invaluable tool, and I love looking at what the spreads are and what the trends are, and to see where the opportunities are. And so, again, if anybody's got any questions, now's the time to call in. It's 347-838-8838. And so, again, the bottom line, the secret is, if you've been putting in hundreds of offers and not getting a deal, you've got to change your strategy, you've got to learn other strategies in order to obtain your deals, make yourself available to wholesalers, have wholesalers bring you some deals if you don't mind doing that. The other thing is you can start your own postcard campaigns, letter writing campaigns, get to know probate attorneys, all kinds of ways to if you want to deal with direct sellers, to change your strategies if you want to be in the location that you're in. And the other thing that you can do is what I did, just keep the strategy that I was taught that I like, and find the location where the opportunities exist. We did a field trip in Tampa not too long ago and was delighted to see this report on how rehabbed properties was a seller's market in Tampa. And there would be multiple offers on some of these rehab properties. And frankly, I think we're seeing some of that nationwide right now. The really ready move-in properties are selling pretty fast. And and the other thing to consider now too is not depend so much on the foreclosures, but look into short sale negotiations. That's another strategy that you can use. The only problem is that it takes a long time. You don't know if you're going to have your money lined up by the time they accept your offer. But bottom line, those are the two things. If you've been making over 100 offers and not getting any deals, you got to think outside of the box. And the way to do that is change your strategy or change your location. And think about what it is you're looking for when you're looking at a location. And originally, I really didn't want to mess with northern areas because of basements and things like that. But when I see a property, well, in fact, I'll just tell you some of the numbers. The first property I got in Chicago, I got for $16,500, and I wholesaled it to somebody else for $26,500, and the ARV showed at $100,000. The person that I wholesaled it to fixed it up and put renters in there, and I'm sure it's cash flowing at $1,000 a month. I mean, what a deal for him. The second property I've got, I paid $36,000 for it. I'm putting in about $27,000, and my listing agent is already lined up to sell it at 140, so that's a good profit spread there too. I've got another one at 27.5. I'm going to put 40,000 into it, and it will sell at about 130. We've got some good solid comps at 130, 135, and some active ones even higher. So I'm kind of looking, you know, anxious to see what happens with that one that's active at 149. And I wholesaled another one. Actually, it was outside of Chicago. It was in Highland Park, kind of a nice area of Chicago, some of the suburbs. I got that one for 92.5, and I wholesaled it to somebody for 112.5. And I paid, you know, all of my wholesale deals, I paid, you know, a finder's fee for them bringing me a buyer. And I usually pay $2,500 finder's fee for somebody to bring me a cash buyer. And so I got probably $17,000 on that wholesale deal. On that particular property, the one in Highland Park, it was a three-unit property they were turning back to a single family. And that one will ARV at 350 to 385. So everybody won on that deal. So again, consider coming to one of my field trips if you haven't been to one already. If you have been to one of my field trips before, you get a big discount, and contact me and I'll give you the code for the discount. That's the other benefit. Once you go to one of my field trips, you can go to all the future field trips for half price. So, again, that's budurl.com/rehabchicago. I will show you the ins and outs. I'll show you what I've learned. And each location has got other things to worry about. For example, in Tampa, when we went there, the major things to worry about there were, like, sinkholes. And so that, you know, we spent a lot of time discussing what happens if you have a house with a sinkhole. And, of course, the Chinese drywall, that's another issue for Florida, too. But in Chicago, Chicago's got their own set of issues. Like, I'll go ahead and tell you right now, don't be afraid of mold. There's going to be mold in those properties. So if you do come and you're susceptible to mold, just don't go inside the properties with us unless we know that there's no mold in the property. But pretty much they all have mold. And one of the main reasons is that Illinois is a judicial state, so the amount of time it takes to do a foreclosure is, it could take a year or two. And a lot of these houses are brick houses, so they hold in the moisture and just do nothing but become their own little mold growing patch. So, you know, that's one of the things that we talk about is what's needed in order to really maximize the profit spreads in Chicago. So I really hope that you guys either reach out to me if you still have questions or click on that link and learn about some of the opportunities that are there in Chicago. I'd love to introduce you to my power team that I've developed there. I've pre-screened everybody. They are investor savvy. And they know how I invest, and we're all on the same page, and we know what needs to be done. I even have an FHA appraiser that's going to be there, so he can, you know, give us a heads up on what the challenges are there with the FHA buyer. And so, anyway, that's pretty much what this show is all about. I do have a call coming in, but I've only got 60 seconds left. So if you can just tell me your question very quickly, I'll try to answer it because I think we only have about 45 seconds. Hello? Hello? Well, I can't hear them. Okay, everybody. Well, thanks a lot, and I'm glad you made the call. And this will be archived on Blog Talk Radio, and I really appreciate your listening, and I hope to meet you very soon in person. So thanks, everybody, and have a great day.